Welcome to the Currently Cringing podcast. I'm your host, Anisha Ramakrishna. I'm a TV personality and entrepreneur. Join me as I spill the chai on my cringeworthy life experiences with a side of dating, pop culture, and lots of laughs.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey guys, welcome to Currently Cringing. I should be recording this podcast episode with you in one go, but we're going to have a little bit of a break because I have had a craving for sour candy and I have Instacart on the way and the guy is going to contact me and I'm going to have to pause this for that. And I haven't had sour candy in about a year or two. I mean, this was something I did every Friday. I'd get sour candy. I'd go to Applebee's and get chicken wings. Like, this was my life for my entire 20s. The shit I ate, I mean, it's concerning. But, you know, they tell you once you pop, you can't stop. Like, I opened that can of worms, that sour candy can of sour worms, literally 3 weeks ago. And now I can't stop. And I know it's not good for me because it brings upon my inflammation, which then in turn leads to joint pain. And I shouldn't be doing this, but it's uncontrollable. And like I mentioned in some other episode with you guys, when I'm in Arizona, I don't know what it is. I crave sugar and I've been taking a lot of magnesium because I discovered that that helps with the menstrual migraines. And I thought that would help ease the sugar craving when I'm here. And it has not. I still want sugar. And it's only when I'm here, I don't know what happens to my body, but this place is just not good for me. It's hell on earth. And as soon as I'm in the East Coast, or anywhere else, really, I don't want sugar. I don't want Coca-Cola. All of it just tastes like corn syrup to me. But when I'm here, I want this sugar, this chocolate, the candy, all of it. And I had been eating chocolate in December, as you know, every day. And then I almost passed out. So I stopped. And then 3 weeks ago, I started this sugar craving, Sour Patch thing. And it's mainly because of TikTok. I mean, I've been watching all these TikTokers eat sour candy and Swedish candies trending right now. And they're all getting it from this place in New York called Bon Bon. And then there's a place in LA called Soccer Bit or something like that. I don't know if I'm saying it right. But I ended up finding a company called Poppin' Candy. They have a million followers on IG. I ended up ordering this candy, hitting add to cart, and then checking out, not realizing that this was going to add $16 of shipping automatically because it's coming from fucking London, okay? I don't know what to say. It's on its way, and I've been craving it. I ordered this now 2 weeks ago. It's still not here, but I'm trying to be good with my finances as well. Like, the old me would just order a bunch of candy from Sockerbit, which is the Swedish candy shop in LA. But I'm being good. I'm just going to wait for it. And mind you, I've been to Sweden because your girl's been everywhere, okay? This is why I don't own a home, because I've spent all my money in my 20s seeing and traveling and doing the most. You know, I have lived, as I have said before, I have done a lot of shit, okay? Which is why it's okay that I stay home these days. I'm like a shut-in. And I do travel with my husband because he hasn't seen a lot of places yet. And I'm like the Aladdin in our lives. Like, I can show you the world. That was terrible. I used to sing as well, by the way. But, you know, singing is like anything else. You know, practice makes perfect. And I haven't done that in a very long time either. Mind you, the Instacart person just messaged me and said they're out of peach rings. That's all I wanted. And so now I am annoyed, because the whole point of this order was to get the peach rings. And now I'm getting a bunch of other things that I don't really want, but that's okay. I cannot believe it has been a week since my show in Toronto. And that is how you say it, Toronto, like T-R-A-A-A-A-N-T-O, Toronto. And I practiced that for my Canadian audience. There was so much stress going into that show. I cannot tell you how stressful that was and how long these things take to plan. I booked that Toronto show in September of 2023. And yeah, finally happened. It's a big weight lifted off my shoulders because it was my first self-produced show, as many of you know, because I said that on social media. And you might be wondering, why did you self-produce a show? Why not just go to the comedy clubs? Well, I'm here to tell you why. As many of you know, I had my debut performance, which is insane. The first time I ever performed any sort of stand-up was my own one-hour long set at Caroline's on Broadway, which is iconic. And crazy that that was my first show ever. You know, people work years to perform there. And that was my first show. You know, I was invited to perform there. I think, now looking back, that maybe they were struggling and they had been inviting a lot of Bravo Labs and podcasters to perform there when it was really just strictly a comedy club for legendary comics. But, you know, I think the industry's changing and entertainment is changing. And a lot of young people do not go to comedy clubs. You know, comedy is a dying art form. I believe so. Stand-up comedy, you know, to go to a club and perform when so many people are just watching things on their phones. In the younger generation, you know, boomers still go to comedy clubs. I know some millennials that still go. A lot of my friends actually don't go, but I do know some people that go. I started going once I got into this, you know, once I was supporting a few friends here and there who were in the space. But I think that's why I was invited, because it was like, oh, here's someone that we think that can sell tickets, and tickets turn into drinks and food, and that's money for these clubs. And so I'm not discounting myself by any means, but for me to perform at Caroline's on Broadway a decade ago, having come off a reality show, having had no stand-up comedy experience whatsoever, I think you could call it a pipe dream. And it just happened for me. It fell into my lap. And I had always wanted to perform stand-up comedy, but when that opportunity was truly available to me, the show was airing in a pandemic. And so I don't think people understand that yes, I'm known by a lot of people. Like anywhere I go, people know me and recognize me. But I don't think people understand having a show air during the pandemic means nothing's really happening for you other than maybe you got some Instagram followers. But I was not able to go out there and do anything for the first two seasons of Family Karma. And then by the time the third season aired, everyone's like, why isn't the show coming back? Like, did you not see the ratings? The world opened up and people were on TikTok. And that's what people are watching. That's what I'm watching. I mean, I'm not even watching Netflix, quite frankly. I never really did, unless there was a show that was really talked about by everyone on social media. You know, like I watched Game of Thrones, which was HBO. I watched Stranger Things. I didn't watch Bridgerton. But in general, you know, I'm on social media. I'm not really watching TV. Also, by the way, another update, the Instacart guy, I just messaged him, like, you don't have peach rings. Like, are there any other rings, you know? Because sometimes they have watermelon, they have sour apple. And I literally just got the automated message, like, he checked out. Like, he was like, fuck off. We're done. Like, I'm on my way. You know, he was still at the store, but he probably was like, shut the fuck up. He also just arrived and we got our nerd clusters, but we didn't get our peach rings or the strawberry trolley puffs. It is what it is. We will survive. Anywho, I digress, per use. So that's why I think I was invited to Caroline's, because they thought, okay, yeah, she's a Bravo Leb. She'll get in some people here. We could use the money. And they had a lot of other Bravo Lebs, you know, performing. Like Joey Gorga from Real Housewives of New Jersey had been performing at Caroline's and selling out, by the way. So I kind of did my show there, loved it. It was so fun. Thought it would be a one and done. So I crushed it because there was no pressure. And then, as many of you know, I bombed in my hometown of Miami. But then from there, I toured for 2 years. I went all over the country, comedy clubs all over the country, and headlined. And so my first show was as a headliner, first show ever. And then I toured the country, which is mind-boggling to think of. And people who opened for me, they were like, we've been doing this for 10 years. Like, we've never headlined. And that's when I thought, okay, like, you're supposed to be humble. So I'm not going to say anything, but people did not know that I had only been doing this for, at that time, a year. Now it's been 2 years. People were shook because at the end of the show, I would tell them, you know, I manifested this and I got a lot of experience and I'm always learning. And some shows are harder than other shows because I put a lot of pressure on myself. Like this Toronto show was insane. Like I was shaking. Because it was A, my own money, and B, it's my second largest market. My top three markets, or let's say in order, okay? These are the top markets. New York, Toronto, Texas, California, Florida, and then London. Just jumps to London. It's crazy. And then we're growing in India. That's a whole other market that's happening right now. For me. But I remained humble. But deep down, I was like, am I allowed to think that I'm good at this? Because, you know, God forbid, you've been doing this for a year and a half and you're headlining and you're running around comedy clubs, selling out shows, and also not selling out shows, mind you. But it's like unheard of with no prior experience. But because I'm brown and I come from an immigrant family, I've been taught to not brag, to not have swagger, all the things that you need to have in this industry. I've always been that person that's dimmed my light to let others shine. And I am so over it. I'm turning 40 this year and I am so over that. Everyone called me cocky and a bitch when I finally gained confidence in my outer appearance. And that was during season 2 of Family Karma. I had lost 30 pounds. people said I got plastic surgery. Like, no, hon, I just lost 30 pounds and got masseter jaw Botox because the stress of season one, my first time ever being on a reality show and launching a business, gave me a Terminator jaw with my TMJ. So I really just got back to my regular face. If you look at photos from me, if you scroll down my Instagram, you know, to like pre-Family Karma, which was 2018, that's when we filmed season one. I look like me now. I'm just older now. But stress will grow your fucking jaw. Let me tell you, it did for me. I always had TMJ, but it was extreme and severe when we were filming Family Karma season one. You know, just being on a reality show and you don't know what's happening your first time ever will fucking drive you insane. And not to mention, you lost all your friends on the show that year. People that you had never fought with in your entire life. That'll really do some shit to you. And your parents start fighting too with their friends. Like, yeah, not cool, not fun. Fun for the audience, but miserable for brown people who do not get into fights with people. And so, yeah, most of my life, I was taught to be humble, to be noble, to be empathetic, to be kind, but in such a way as brown people, as immigrants, really, that you just lose yourself and you don't celebrate yourself. And there is a way to be humble, but also be confident and proud of yourself and your accomplishments. And I don't know how many people have opened as a headliner at their first show ever at Caroline's on Broadway and then toured across the country as a headliner for the next 2 years. And then in year three now, self-funded their own show. And the reason I self-funded my own show, that was the whole point of this conversation, was because while the comedy clubs are great and everyone I worked with at the comedy clubs was so nice, I don't know how people do this for a living and make money. Because for someone like me, right, I'm not selling out four shows a night. I'm selling one show on a shitty night of the week, right? Like, they're giving me Tuesday, fucking Tuesday, or like Wednesday, right? They're not giving me Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I had three Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday shows, right? And those were Austin, New York, New Jersey, and Philly. And I sold out all those shows. Like, they were phenomenal. But then, like, you know, they're sending me to Buffalo in May, and it was, I believe, 30 degrees on a Wednesday night. Yeah, I performed in front of 30 people. And God bless my friend Tracy, who came to see me. She moved from the city to Buffalo, and we used to work together at Tahari. And we had a lovely dinner after and talked about the good old days. But it was, you know, to have your friends, like, see no one at your show. Like, 30 people's someone, right? Like, I've spoken to peers in the industry. They're like, Anish, we've performed for 6 people in the early days. Like, it is what it is. There's no shame in it. But you're spending your time and your money to go to these places. And some people don't show up. And that's okay. You do your best, even for 10 people in the audience. And so I learned so much in those 2 years of traveling and touring by myself. My husband was able to come to my Phoenix show, and my parents were able to come to my show in New Jersey. And then, of course, I had my friend, real best friend, like family, little brother in real life, like Dylan from Family Karma. He came to my Philly show. I had my friend Tracy come to my Buffalo show. My brother and my sister in real life, my blood brother and my sister, they came to my show in Irvine. They drove an hour. My sister drove me an hour to my show in Oxnard with her dog. Like, you know, everyone has been there for me, rooting for me and rallying for me. I have the best circle in my life. Everyone and their mother came for me in my Miami show. Everyone came and supported me. I couldn't be more grateful, even though I bombed. But it was a tough 2 years, you know, just being in that environment where everyone was really nice, but you get your check at the end of the night. And like I said, I'm not selling four shows a night, right? So I'm selling one show one night. And then suddenly you see like, okay, $800 deducted from marketing. But you know the club didn't market the show. God bless them, but they didn't. And I was marketing my show. I was running ads, which is why you might see a lot of ads from me, sponsored posts, because that's what you do to sell tickets when you're not A-list yet. And even A-list people have to run ads for their shows. And I see them. A lot of people will run ads before a big show. But I met so many incredible people and everyone was so nice to me. And it was humbling when people who had been performing for 10 years would open for me. But then at the end of the night, they'd be like, we can't believe you just started doing this. And that's when I'm going to toot my own horn and be like, you know what? Maybe I am fucking good at this. Maybe it comes naturally to me. And what gets in the way for me is the nerves, because I can be funny off the cuff just talking to you, but talking by myself on stage with no conversation, like it's just me talking to you, it's very difficult. And nerves get in the way of that free-flowing, improv, off-the-cuff sarcasm and wit that I usually have. So I try my best to be calm before a show, but it's still hard to this day, no matter how many times I've done it. And I really isolated myself. I stopped talking to like all my friends and everyone in my life just because I really didn't have anything positive to say, because I was in the trenches, miserable in Arizona, and then going on tour and loving the show and meeting everyone, but then knowing I'm not getting the recognition I deserve for whatever reason, because I'm brown. And I never had that reason my entire life. I've always been recognized for my work. This is the first industry that I'm part of, the entertainment industry, where I am underrated. I am not recognized outside of obviously female comedians who are very kind, who have been so supportive and so helpful. But, you know, like the big wigs in the biz, the execs, the talent managers, the agents. And maybe it's because I'm older. Maybe it's because I'm old and my content is super niche. You know, I'm 40 with no kids, newlywed. It's not common.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And I didn't mention this, but I did have a manager that I shared with a lot of the housewives, big housewives. And she was nice, but she didn't do anything for me. And so we parted ways. And that's kind of when I took matters into my own hands and decided, okay, this was great, but I'm going to self-produce my own shows and just do this on my own. And I think I have never been a brown noser, which makes things difficult because I've never kissed ass. My mom has told me my entire life, you get more bees with honey than vinegar. And guess what? I will give you the honey if you deserve it. But I am someone that has always stuck to my guns and will not tolerate any bullshit. And that's how my mom raised me. So I tell my mom as well, you know, you taught me not to take any bullshit. And you also told me to speak up and to call things out. And so that's just how I operate. You know, I am not someone that is going to kiss your ass, brown nose, or sweet talk my way into anything. It's just not who I am. And I will stand on business. I will stand up for myself if anything's fugazi, as the Italians say, you know? If anything's not right or fucked up, I'm going to call it out. And I no longer call out shit in like personal relationships, which is probably bad. I'm like, whatever. I just like distance myself from people when they do some fugazi shit. But in the work environment, in the professional environment, I will call you on your bullshit. And so I would see these numbers from the comedy clubs and I'd get some paltry amount at the end. And I was like, okay, how are people doing this for a living? And that's all they're doing, or they're, I guess, working a day job, but this is not realistic. And this was something I like to do on the side, but I know I'm good at it and I can make a business out of this, one of my businesses, and bet on myself, you know, put your money where your mouth is. And so I self-produced my show last Thursday in Toronto, and I booked the venue and I learned about international insurance and ticket sales and ticket pricing and signing contracts with the venues and property insurance. Who knew? And not only did I make a big profit, but I crushed it. You know, people had a good time. And I can say that now because it's done. The only thing that I would have done differently, I should have priced all the tickets the same, but I was just following industry standard. I did tiered ticket pricing and I had the first two rows as VIP seating for a meet and greet. So anyone who bought those first two rows, you know, they would meet me after and we'd talk and, you know, do the whole thing. And in every show, I meet everybody. That's just what I do. But this show was different because your girl was paying by the hour for the place. So we couldn't meet everybody. So what I would do differently next time is I would price it all the same and then have the meet and greet as an add-on versus lumping it into the ticket price, which I learned. You know, you live, you learn. But I'll run the numbers for you because I don't gatekeep. It costs $4,000 to rent the venue. And that's including staff and ticket agents or box office, having the sound team and security. And they were all amazing at the Royal Theater in Toronto. They were incredible. And then insurance, which was a mission to find because I'm not a Canadian citizen and I did not know how difficult that would be. I mean, I think I found someone literally 2 weeks before the show, a company called PAL Insurance, P-A-L in Canada. Because a lot of the other companies, they needed you to be a Canadian resident. And then I spent $2,000 on ads. And then shocker, the fucking travel, which I should just count me because I'm the performer, but me and my husband, was $3,000. That's the other issue I have with being in Arizona. It's $10 million to go anywhere because you're like on a fucking landlocked desert, literally. And so it cost us $3,000 for me and my husband to fly to New York to Toronto. There was no direct flight, obviously. And then the hotel, we stayed at the Hyatt Centric. We didn't even stay at like the Four Seasons or the Ritz-Carlton, you know. And the Hyatt Centric was an arm and a leg for whatever reason. And God bless my parents for spending an arm and a leg to come see me wherever I perform. I mean, I'm the luckiest girl in the world. But what was funny, at the end of the show, everyone came up to the stage and it was like, hey, we don't have the time because usually I'd meet everybody, but we specifically had meet and greet tickets for a reason because we didn't have the time to meet everybody and we knew not everyone would buy the meet and greet tickets. So everyone rushed to the stage, which was pretty incredible and a great feeling. And everyone was so kind and they wanted photos, but, you know, we had to leave because we could only do meet and greets with the people that did buy the meet and greet tickets. But I want to thank everyone for coming to Toronto. If you're listening and you came to that show, it was a pivotal moment for me in my journey. And you do the math, okay? $3,000 travel, $4,000 venue rental, and $2,000 on Facebook ads. Let's throw in another $1,000 for like hair, makeup, outfit. And then we had 390 seats at the venue. So you do the math. And I made a good amount, more than I've ever made going to a comedy club. So I know you need the comedy clubs and you go to the comedy clubs to practice before you do the big shows. But for someone like me, who's just handling this on my own, I might as well continue on this path. And there were some comedy clubs that were amazing. Miami Improv actually was really fair in the way they paid. But, you know, for the most part, there's more incentive to do this on my own. And I think we're just living in a different world, you know, just fucking do things on your own. Own your shit, literally. Why have someone take 10% or add unnecessary fees and costs that don't really exist? And I feel like we're going to see a big change anyway in the industry, especially in performing arts as well. So if you're listening and you want to do something creative, start small and then go for it on your own. I actually want to visit the small towns now, like the really small towns. I've been to small towns, but now I really want to go to like Nebraska and Arkansas, places like that. I really think there's a market for me there. They may not know who the hell I am, but I know I will make them laugh. And so we went to Toronto for actually 3 days because I hadn't been there since 2019. One of my best friends, her sister got married at the Four Seasons, and I remember being single, and she was single as well. And I went to Toronto and I had the best time there. It's a lovely city. And this time we just hit up all the spots again. I was with my parents. We went to a beautiful Indian restaurant called Adrak in Yorkville. And we tried some of the best pizza in the city, the highest rated pizzas there. It's a place called North of Brooklyn. And then the other place was called Buddy Ali's. Incredible pizza. I got to spend some time with my parents and my husband. And that's always nice because we don't get to do that all the time. And I had a whole set on Canada and the jokes. I did my research and they loved it. And then at the end, I had a couple of people, you know, crying at the show, telling me that I've changed their life, that I got them through their illness. And then someone else said I got them through their depression and they see me as an inspiration. And, you know, that's always the best. There's no other way to describe it other than whatever I'm doing, whether it's for 2 people or 100 people, that's what keeps me going. And I know it sounds so cliche, but to see you guys and a lot of you that I talk to online and then to meet you in person is the greatest feeling ever. There are no words to describe it. And there's a whole path in Toronto, which is an underground mall, but it's also your subway station, but it's not like Hood Rat. Like I was thinking path is Hood Rat, like the New York path. No, this is like Saks Fifth Avenue underground, which by the way, Saks Fifth Avenue is Canadian, Hudson Bay Company. It is incredible. I mean, we were just walking underground. It was freezing. It was in the 40s, but underground was warm. And we were wondering, where is everyone, you know, when we first got there? And then we realized everyone's underground. And my dad had been mentioning the path. He kept mentioning like they have this whole underground world in Toronto. And I'd been before, but I'd never been underground. And I was kind of weary. I was like, all right, Dad, you know, maybe this is something you read about like in the 90s. But no, we went out there down and it was phenomenal. I mean, if you're from Toronto, you guys are great. It's like Saks Fifth Avenue underground, the whole city. It's mind-blowing. We went to some cool coffee shops, had some yummy desserts and pastries. I even got my hair done there because I usually always get my hair done before I leave. But my hairdresser here in Scottsdale, she's an adorable 25-year-old. She moved. Literally, she dyed my hair the week before the show, and then she moved, and I had known she was going to move, and she moved the week of my show, and so I didn't get to do my hair here because I'm not trying to risk it with someone new, whereas I'd rather go to like a dry bar or something the day of the show and have like nice fresh hair where there's consistency versus try someone new in Arizona, you know? And that's the other thing, you know, I just get so emo. It's like this hairdresser who has kind of been my friend here. I have a lot of friends here, but I've isolated myself the past 2 years, like I said, not just with my friends here in Arizona, but with my friends in life. I've really just kept to myself. There are only like 4 people I talk to every day. One of them is Ditz, friend of the show. And this hairdresser, you know, she was a big part of my life here. And I feel like her leaving was closing this chapter because I'm leaving. And it's just bittersweet. Like someone does your hair for 2 years straight, you know, in a city where you didn't know anyone and you're glad you found them. And it's hair talk, right? Like you talk to your hairdresser about everything, at least I do. And then from one day to the next, they're gone. And she moved. She moved from Arizona back to her hometown of Denver. And that's life. And those are the things I talk about when I say to you guys that I would spiral if I wasn't busy, because I go crazy on life and meeting people and will we meet again? And not necessarily the hairdresser, but like, you know, after we leave this place with our families and our friends, like, will we be reunited? And I have a very hard time with letting go of those thoughts and those things, which is why I like to keep busy. And so for me, knowing that my hairdresser here is gone and that people just come and go in your life, and I'll probably never see her again, those things are just very hard for me to comprehend or digest, I should say. And whether it's the hairdresser or even the cashier at the grocery store, like I'm BFFs with my cashier at Walgreens in Doral, my hometown in Miami. Like I know everyone there. They've known me since I was 13, which is when that Walgreens opened. You know, there are people that are still working there from that first day that it opened, and they've seen my entire life happen and unfold. And so, yeah, I don't feel like looking for a new hairstylist now in Scottsdale because I don't have much time left here anyway. And yeah, it's just bittersweet. You know, those things are weird for me. And then back to Toronto. So yeah, I did my hair in Toronto, had the show. It was perfection. Everything I dreamed of it being. I performed well. The audience was happy. My parents were happy. My husband, who is an angel sent from literally the heavens to me. I was so happy that he was able to make it for this show. And he came on stage as well. It was just wonderful. And we spent the next 3 days in New York City. And I wished I stayed longer, but it said rain. And so I booked my travel short. But then it didn't rain, and so I was pissed because I could have stayed there for 6 days, but you win some, you lose some. I still have yet to go to Carbone, unable to get a reservation. And I had a fabulous work project that I did on Friday after my show, April 19th, in New York, which you guys will be seeing in May. I had the coolest opportunity with one of the greatest companies and can't wait for you to see that when it comes out in May. And then Ditz, friend of the show, was kind enough to invite us to the Aman, which is a very posh hotel chain. It's got a members club and it's $200,000 to be a member. And so, of course, Ditz is a member. So we all spent the evening there at Aman, and we were there literally from 6:30 to 2 a.m. It was lovely. And I would have stayed longer had I not been exhausted because I had a 3 a.m. wake-up call because we left from Toronto that morning at 6 a.m. And then I had a work gig the entire day and went straight from the work gig to the Aman Hotel. But it's always a great time in the city. We're going to get a second place in the city. So we'll be between Miami and then, of course, enjoying New York when we can on the weekends. Prices are really great right now in the city for whatever reason, and they're exorbitantly high in Miami. Oh, and before I forget, I wanted to talk about these blueberries. They're called jumbos. And I don't know if you guys have seen those strawberries, the Oishi strawberries. So these are like perfect strawberries, and everyone says they're delicious, but they're not sold everywhere. But a friend of ours got them at Trader Joe's and said they were incredible and worth it. So let me know how it goes, because of course they don't have them in Arizona. But I did try the Jumbos, and that's with a Z, the Jumbos blueberries. Okay, these blueberries are like atomic blueberries. They're the size of marbles, literally. And they are pure perfection. If you can find them, get them. I found them at Sprouts and they were delicious. Each blueberry was like it was from the movie Willy Wonka. They were perfectly round, massive, colossal, I should say, blue and sweet and luscious and just decadent, like the most perfect blueberry ever. So if you can, get them. They were $5 and definitely life-changing. And I have another big project that I cannot tell you about, and that is what I am working on right now, which is why I'm only touring the second half of the year, because I'm working on this massive project that I can talk about maybe in like a month or two. But till then, I want to see if I can come to some smaller towns. I think people who don't know me in those smaller towns, if they do come, they'll be presently surprised, because yes, I'm Indian, but I'm also from Miami. And I know Latino culture, and I could say I'm like part Latino because I'm from Miami. It automatically makes you Latino. And I speak fluent Spanish, even though right now I'm saying Latino, but I can say like I'm Gwyneth Paltrow or something, which I am. I'm also a little bit of a brown Gwyneth Paltrow, but also a brown Joan Rivers and a brown Southern Baptist woman, because I went to a Christian school my entire life and I'm from Florida, the South. Even though if you ask me if I'm from Florida, I will always deny you and say I'm from Miami. But I think I can relate to a lot of groups of people, you know, and you'll see that in my shows. My shows are not just brown, you know, we have people from everywhere. And our show in Toronto started 30 minutes late. That's never happened in my entire life. And I was wondering, like, is it because of the brown people? You know, even the venue manager was like, is this normal? I'm like, nope, this has never happened. And she's like, it's not South Asian culture because you have a mixed crowd. And I was like, oh, who's out there? Because, you know, I don't see the crowd until I go on stage. She's like, well, you have white people, black people, Latinos, brown people, you know, that can be from anywhere. You know, we're all the same. We can be from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, you name it. Like, there's so many. Guyana. So we really have a mixed crowd. And that's why I think I can relate to a lot of people and I can talk more about my experiences as a brown person in a Christian school and the only brown person in my school, for that matter. We have so much more in common as humans than meets the eye. And thank you for listening. I'm going to record two episodes this week to make up for not having one last week. Mercury retrograde is over. I cannot believe I had a show during Mercury retrograde. I cannot believe I booked a show during Mercury retrograde. Even my husband was like, I can't believe you did that. He's been trained so well. He knows. But yeah, I can't believe I did either, but I got very lucky. Everything went off without a hitch. And thank you again to everyone who came. And as always, thank you for listening. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thank you so much for sipping the chai with me this week. If you like the show, remember to rate, review, and subscribe. You can also find me on Instagram at Anish Ramakrishna. I would love to hear from you. Join me next week for more chai.